This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Governor Charlie Baker has until midnight to sign or reject a massive climate legislation package. If approved, the bill would require Massachusetts to reduce its emissions 50% below 1990 levels in the next 10 years and to be net zero by 2050. Now, WBUR environmental reporter Miriam Wasser has been reporting on the legislation, joins us now. Miriam, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Miriam, right after the bill came out of committee, we had State Senator Michael Barrett on the show. He was one of the bill's key architects. He said that he'd worked closely with the governor's team throughout the process of drafting. He didn't think the differences between the two sides would be what he called deal killer. He hoped Baker would sign it. Baker hasn't signed it. So why?
Well, that is the million-dollar question. Baker's been asked about this a bunch of times, and he's just continued to say that he and his team are reviewing it. He's definitely frustrated that the legislature got it to him at the very end of the session, because that's meant that there was never an option for him to send it back with amendments or do any sort of negotiation. And remember, this is all happening just weeks after his team put out its own really ambitious climate plan. They spent more than a year doing research and trying to put together a series of roadmaps for what they thought would be the best way forward. And there's a lot of overlap between the two plans. You know, they both share the same sort of grand vision for decarbonizing transportation, buildings, the energy sector, you name it. But there are some key differences. And if the bill gets vetoed, that will probably be why.
So just to pick up on that, you said, you know, you got it sort of last minute. You mean like bleeding edge last minute, right?
Yeah, like day before the session ends, kind of last minute.
Yeah. Okay, so what could happen in the next 9 hours?
Right. There are three things that could happen. Baker could sign it, he could veto it, or he could do what's called a pocket veto, which essentially means that he would do nothing, and that is a de facto veto.
Okay, so I'm assuming playing into that are these key differences that you mentioned. Tell us, I think there are two, right? Tell us about each and who is upset about them.
Yeah. So the first big sticking point is really all about how quickly we cut emissions. Both the legislature and the governor have goals of radically reducing emissions by 2050, as you mentioned above, but they differ in how much of that we need to do or how much of that we need to achieve by 2030. If we take our emissions from 1990 as sort of this base level, the governor said we need to cut that by 45% by 2030. And the legislature says, no, we need to do 50%. And 5%, a 5% difference might not sound like much, but it's actually like a really, really big deal. And the administration is worried that if we move too quickly, we could actually set ourselves backwards and that the whole transition will end up costing a lot more. And then the other big sticking point is something called stretch codes, which is super wonky sounding, I know, but here's how to think about it. We have statewide building codes, and those include efficiency standards, right? And a number of years ago, some cities and towns said that they wanted to go further and require more efficient buildings. So the legislature created these so-called stretch codes, which allow these cities and towns to opt into these higher standards. And fast forward to today, and the legislature wants to update those stretch codes to the point where municipalities could mandate that all new buildings actually have net zero emissions, so be like super climate friendly. And it sounds great, but some in the real estate and development world are nervous about this. They say that the bill moves too quickly on this. You know, the bill says that cities can do this pretty much within a year of the bill becoming law. And in their mind, that creates a lot of uncertainty, which is bad for the industry. And I spoke yesterday with Tamara Small of NIAP Massachusetts, which is a commercial real estate development association. And here's what she told me about this.
Our concern is that there have not been that many net zero buildings built, particularly commercial buildings in the Commonwealth. And we're also concerned that this could really hinder economic development. So yes, are we going to get to net zero eventually? Absolutely. Are we going to be there within 1 year where it could potentially be the base code in the large majority of communities in the Commonwealth? That's where the real concern is.
All right. So those are the key sticking points. What about people who want him to sign it before midnight tonight? What do they say?
Yeah. So on stretch code specifically, they say that the issue has been totally overblown and that there's plenty of precedent around the world for how to build really green buildings. And on some of the other differences, they say, you know, reasonable people can disagree about certain things, but at the end of the day, they say this is a really strong climate bill that does a lot to address a variety of problems. And for that reason, the administration should sign it. And Tiziana, right before you and I started talking, I was on the phone with Elizabeth Henry Turnbull of the Environmental League of Massachusetts. Her group has gone all in on the bill, and she told me she's still hoping Baker signs it for three reasons.
First, this bill is the most ambitious of any kind of its kind in the nation. And if it's passed, Massachusetts unambiguously leads, and we set a roadmap for other states and nations to follow. Second, it puts Massachusetts on a path to a cleaner, healthier, more equitable future, and it turbocharges our clean energy sector. And third, the legislature and the administration both want so much of the same things.
All right, so now we know what people on both sides have been saying over the last 10 days. It's a bit of a black box. Any clues on who the governor's listening to?
Yeah, so it sounds to me like he's listening to those with concerns, like NIAP, you know, that maybe those people have persuaded him. Our colleague Steve Brown asked him about the bill this afternoon, and Baker immediately brought up stretch codes. So here's what he said.
One of my big concerns is I've gotten a lot of incoming from a lot of folks who are in the building and home construction business who've said that certain pieces of this bill, which remember, I can't amend and send back, literally may just stop in its tracks any housing development in the Commonwealth. And those words get my attention.
So, yeah, you know, I don't have a crystal ball here, but it sounds like he's hinting at a veto.
Okay, so if he vetoes or does this pocket veto thing where he just doesn't sign it but doesn't send it back or anything, what happens next?
Right. So leaders in the House and Senate vowed yesterday to refile the bill immediately. And if Baker vetoes it again, they should have enough votes to override that. And if Baker sends it back with proposed amendments, they could decide to negotiate. And, you know, while negotiation always sounds like a great thing, some environmental advocates that I've been talking to are worried that this will just open the door to another 2 years of back and forth. You know, they're worried that we won't end up with an actual climate law before July 2022. And given the climate crisis and, you know, the fact that we probably should have started addressing it yesterday, they say it is just too long to wait. So to summarize, we're in the 11th hour here, and it is a real nail biter.
It is. Miriam, before I let you go, I just want to clarify. So the last legislative session sent him this bill. So you and I both said this, but I just want to clarify. He technically can't send it back with amendments because this is a different legislature, right? He can either veto it or ignore it, and they're going to have to resubmit it for there to be a back and forth, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. And the leaders in the House and Senate have said that that's exactly what they plan to do if he vetoes it. So they will refile, you know, as soon as a couple days from now.
Okay. Thank you for that. WBUR environmental reporter Miriam Wasser. We will follow this with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.